Today's daf is Psachim Daf Ayin Vav, and we are at the Mishnah, six lines from the bottom of Daf Ayin Hey Amid Beis. Today's daf is being learned as Uschus Refuah Shalema. For Shlomo ben Tzar Aliza, Avadya ben Miriam Leia, Dvora bas Mecha, Shmuel ben Tehila, Moshe Abba ben Devora, and Yona Adina bas Amalia. Today's daf is being learned as Uschus for Yecheskel Shragim ben Miral, and today's daf is being learned for Ilui Nishmas Avram ben Yibod Alechaim Toivim, Reb Moshe Chaim. So we're continuing to discuss the halachos of Korban Pesach, specifically the halachos of Ketzat Soylin Esa Pesach. The Korban Pesach had to be prepared and had to be eaten roasted. It says in the Torah, Al toichlu mimenu na uvashal mevushal b'mayim. You weren't allowed to eat the Korban Pesach if it was half roasted. You weren't allowed to eat the Korban Pesach if it was cooked. How then did it have to be prepared? Ki imtzli esh. It had to be roasted. And we have a whole perek in Shas that deals with the halachos of keitzad soylen as a Pesach, all the laws that pertain to roasting the Korban Pesach. So today's daf is going to begin with the law related to Korban Pesach. The backdrop is going to be the laws of Korban Pesach. However, the daf is going to make an epic digression. In fact, today's daf, Psachim Daf Ayin Vav, is one of the most important dafin in Shas as it relates to the laws of Taruvos and the laws of Basa V'Cholov. So when you learn Hilchas, Basa V'Cholov, Taruvos, Yerideya, Psachim Ayin Vav is a very important daf. Hafoichba vafoichba de kulaba. It's impossible for us to do justice to today's daf. However, we're going to do what we do. So we know that the basic halacha of Taruvos states that anytime you have a mixture between Isser and Heter, to the extent that they were physically Nesarev, so you have a pot of kosher meat and non-kosher meat that's cooking together, the halacha is that unless you have 60 times of heter keneged the iser, the entire taruvos is going to be a problem. Now, the truth is, it's a little bit of a chiddush, because ordinarily, whenever it comes to questions of mixtures and sveikos, the rule is achri rabim lahatis, you go basarayf. Stating that, the Gemara says in many places, and one of the places that the Gemara says that is in Mesechtes Psachim, in Perek Elu Oivrim, Tam Ke'ikr. There's an idea that as long as the Isser is being nois and tam into the Heter, even if the Heter is the Roiv, it doesn't matter. This Taruvos is still going to be Asa. So the halacha is that if you would cook Isser V'Heter together, if you would roast Isser V'Heter together, if you would fry Isser V'Heter together, in all these situations, you would have to take into consideration the fact that by virtue of the Metzius, that they're now being prepared together, there are Blios and Platos that are being transferred from the Isser to the Heter, from the Heter to the Isser, and as long as the Isser is nois in time, meaning as long as you don't have Shishim of Heter to correspond to the little bit of Isser that there is, the halacha is that the entire taruvah is going to be awesome. This is Taruvos 101. Another important halacha, which is really the backdrop of today's daf, is that this idea of taruvos, this idea of Isser v'Heter, is not only true if the Isser and the Heter were physically cooked together, or roasted together, or fried together, but rather this halacha would be true even if the Isser and Heter merely touched each other. If you have a Dover Asser and you have a Dover Mutter, and they touch each other, the assumption is that there are Blias that are going to go from the Isser to the Heter, and there are Blias that are going to go from the Heter to the Isser. So again, unless you're going to have a shear of Bittel, so that the little bit of Isser is not going to be nois and tam into this taruvos, the halacha is, it's going to be a problem. However, you have to read the fine print. And the fine print states that this is only true if the Isser and the Heter were hot. So if the Isser's hot and the Heter's hot, and hot in halacha is usually defined as yatsoy ledespoy, so then the halacha is, we say that even though they simply touched each other, the halacha is, you have to be worried about blios and pleitos. If, however, you have a dover asser and a dover mutter, they're not hot and they touch each other, so of course in that case, it's not something you'd have to be worried about. Now, you maybe have to be concerned that there's a little bit of Isser on the surface of the Heter, but for that, all you have to do is wash it. All you have to do is rinse it, and that's going to be okay. When you're worried that maybe something's happening on a molecular level where there's a real blia and there's a real plate taking place, that's only a concern. That's only something that you're going to have to worry about in the event that what you're dealing with is hot. Regardless, today's daf is going to discuss Isser and Heter that come in contact with each other. They weren't necessarily cooked together. We'll see a little bit of that as well. But certainly the majority of the daf is going to talk about where Isser and Heter come in contact. When do you have to be concerned that because they touched each other, maybe there's blius and pleitas, and maybe now you have to worry about shishim and all the halachas of tam ke'ikern, and when is it that you don't have to worry about it? Now, why are we discussing this right now? So we're dealing with the halachas of Karban Pesach, and yesterday's daf, we saw a very important halacha. That is, it says in the Torah that the Karban Pesach had to be eaten tzli'esh. But it doesn't just say in the Torah that it had to be tzli'esh. Ish once. It says in the Torah twice that it had to be in Tzli'esh. For Achuas Habasa Balayla Hazet Tzli'esh. And then it says, Atoichle Mimenu No Uvashu Mavushu Bamayim Ki Im Tzli'esh. So it says it's in Eshtemol and it says it's in Tzveitemol. And from the fact that the Torah said that the Karban Pesach has to be in Tzli'esh twice, Rabbi Yochanan said that you learn from here that the only way to eat the Karban Pesach is if it's roasted physically from fire. But let's say you had a tanur and the tanur had fire in it. There were coals, and then you removed the coals, but it's still very, very high. Now, loch is, if you roasted the Karban Pesach in that instance, it would be a problem. The reason is because ein zat sliyesh, shenem at sliyesh, sliyesh tei pam. There's an idea that it has to be 100% sliyesh directly from fire, and to the extent that it comes from a toldavish, that in and of itself won't be enough. So it's with that hakdama, zokdamish naga becher social taner. What would be if somebody was roasting the Karban Pesach? He has his rotisserie going, and then the meat of the Karban Pesach touched the earthenware tanner. It touched the physical tanner. The halach is yiklef es mekayma. You have a problem. And what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to remove a little bit of meat. The part of the meat that made contact with the cheres is going to be an issue. The reason is because it says in the Torah that the only way to eat the Karban Pesach is kiyam tzliyesh. And again, it doesn't just say it once, it says it twice, which teaches me that the only way it's kosher is if the tzliya, this roasting took place directly from the fire, to the extent that a little bit of meat touched the tanur. So it's the tanur now that's roasting the meat. It's not the fire that's roasting the meat. And that's a problem. Now you're going to say, I don't understand. The tanur is only hot because of the fire. So isn't the tanur of Toldovesh? Yeah, but Rabbi Yochanan said, on Amud Aleph, Kiyim Tzli'esh, Tzli'esh, Beis Palmim, to teach me it has to come directly from the fire. It can't come from a Toldovesh. So based on that, says the Mishnah, we're going to have a taruvos ramification. What would be if while you're roasting the Karban Pesach, a little bit of touch the cheres, so the din is yiklef es mekayim. Now notice, it doesn't say in the Mishnah that you have to start figuring out how much touch, do you have shishim, maybe you're going to have to throw out the entire Karban Pesach. No, all the Mishnah said was yiklef es mekayim, which would seem to suggest that even though there's a concern that part of the Karban Pesach was now roasted by the cheres, which is an issue, but it's only the part that made contact. It's only what's known in the vernacular as a kidei kalipa. It's only the peel, it's the shell, it's that very, very outer surface. So as long as you remove the outer surface, that in of itself is going to be okay. So the whole chashash is the kidei kalipa. Says the Mishnah, what would be another case? If somebody was roasting the Karban Pesach and a little bit of rotef, a little bit of sauce oozed out of the animal, and it touched the cheres. V'chazarelev. And then that sauce went right back onto the animal. It went right back onto the Karban Pesach. The halach is nito les mekayma. Again, you have the same problem. The problem is the roitev that touched the cheres was now roasted by the cheres, which means it's not kiyam tzli'esh. Now when the roitev goes back and it touches the Karban Pesach, so again, you have a taruva is a vis of a heter. The heter is the entire animal. The iser is this little bit of roitev. But notice, what does the Mishnah say you have to do? It doesn't say yiklok es mekaymai, it says yitol es mekaymai. Rashi says, so what's the difference? The loisagile beklipa, ela benetila yofa yofa ba'ofi. So I am very shinim and in the poiskim and hilchas yardea to know the exact difference between a kidei klipa and a kidei netila. But what we need for our purposes that a kidei netila is a little bit more than a kidei klipa. So in the event that the meat touched the cheres, so then all you need to remove is a kidei klipa. In the event that it was rotev that touched the cheres, and now that sauce went back and touched the animal, so it's not going to be enough to take a kidei klipa. Here you're going to need a kidei netila. What's the difference? The roitev is a liquid, so the liquid is a little bit more feisty, it's a little more aggressive, it goes a little bit deeper, and as a result, over there the halacha would be you'd have to take off a kidei netila. Not the halacha, not the roitev ala soilus. What would be if you had a little bit of roitev from the Karban Pesach and then it landed on soilus, it went into flour, yikmoitz es mekoymoi. So that top part of the soilus you would have to remove. Yikmoitz is not yikloif, it's not yitol, it's milosh and kmitza. But you would have to take a little bit off the top, and that's going to be an issue. And again, why do you have to remove this? It's for the same reason, because the roitev is part of the Karban Pesach. Once it touches the soilus, so it comes out, it's being heated by the soilus. The Gemara is going to say, it's talking about when the soilus was hot. So the soilus itself heated the roitev. If it heated the roitev, you're now not allowed to eat that
part of the soilus, because it has in it roitiv, which is really a chelik of a carbon pesach, and there's a din. The carbon pesach is only allowed to be eaten sliyesh. You're not allowed to eat it in any other way. As a result, you have no choice, but you're going to have to remove it. B'shem and truma. What would be if someone took the carbon pesach and smeared it with oil that was truma? Okay, im chabur is kayanim. If the chabur of people that are eating the carbon pesach are kayanim yoichul, then you can eat it. There was no harm, nothing bad happened. Imchal Yisrael. If, however, the person that, or one of the members at least of the Karmel Pesach is a Yisrael, so then that loch is like this. Imchayu, if the meat is raw, yadichenu, then just wash it off, because the cold oil that makes contact with the raw meat, nothing's really going to happen. So as long as you rinse it off, it's going to be okay. If, however, the Karmel Pesach was roasted already when you smeared it with the oil, then we're concerned a little bit might have penetrated. As a result, you have to remove the k'tei kli, but you have to take off this outer part. What would be if you smeared it, not with shemen shel trumo, but rather shemen shel ma'isa sheni? So then the halach is lo yasenu damim al b'nei chaburah. So then you have to be worried about something else. Now you're allowed to eat ma'isa sheni in Yerushalayim. And as long as this is happening in Yerushalayim, so what's the problem? So there's no truma problem, right? Truma is an issue. If you're a Yisrael, you're not allowed to eat truma. But Ma'is and Sheni, everyone's allowed to eat Ma'is and Sheni. It's essentially chulin. It just has some level of kedusha, which means that you have to eat it in Yerushalayim. But obviously, if you're eating the Karban Pesach, this has to be taking place in Yerushalayim. So, but the Mishnah has a different halacha. You have to make sure that you don't charge the Olam and the Chabura for the amount of money that it cost to put the Shemen on the animal. The reason is because if you're going to charge for it, it looks a little bit like you're being poida. Meaning, it looks like you're transferring the kedusha from the oil onto the money. And the halacha is ein poida ma'isa sheni b'Yerushalayim. You're not allowed to be poida ma'isa sheni b'Yerushalayim. So based on that, this is something that you're not allowed to do. Either way, it's pretty intuitive at this point where the sugya of taruvos is about to go. Regardless, you're going to Mishnah. The Gemara is going to discuss some real intense taruva is not hard, but intense in the sense that this is 101. And the Gemara, in the course of its discussion, is going to keep referring back to the cases of the Mishnah. Zok the Gemara itmar. Cham letoy cham, divrei akol asr. We said earlier that if you have two foods, one is asner, one is mutter. Incidentally, Rashi says, or if both are mutter, but one was basar, and the other one is chalav. So even though basar and chalav are each independently mutter, but when they merge together, when they fuse, it creates this union that's asr. But just to keep it simple. So you have a meichel that's asr, and you have a meichel that's mutter. If they come in contact with each other, we may have issues. But we said in the introduction, only sometimes, not always. It says the Gemara, if you have a food that's cham, and it went and touched another food that's cham, or it was dunked into another food that's cham, divrei akol asr, everybody agrees that it's going to be a problem. Meaning you have to start worrying about blias and plaitis, and you have to ask your local rabbi, hilchos yerideya, and taruvos and basa v'chol, to figure out what to do with it. Tzoynin, letoich tzoynin, if both foods were cold, divrei akol mutter, you have nothing to worry about. Cham letoich tzoynin, what would be if you had a hot food that went into a cold food, or a cold food that went into a hot food? So again, if they're both hot, of course it's an issue. If they're both cold, it's certainly not an issue. What if one was hot and one was cold? Rav says, ilo agavar. You always look at the one that's on top. So assuming one's on top and one's on bottom, whoever's on top, that's the gavar. That's the kol de olam gavar. Meaning, if the one on top is hot, then what we assume is going to happen is it's going to heat the one that's on bottom. It's going to make them, zok d'Rashi, both hot. So now it's like a cham l'toy cham. Cham l'toy cham is an issue. If the one on top is cold, then the ilo gavar, says Rav, the one on top is going to make the one on bottom cold, so it's now going to be viewed as being tzoynin l'toich tzoynin. Tzoynin l'toich tzoynin is not an issue. Shmuel said just the opposite. It's the tata gavar. You always look at what's on bottom. So if the one on bottom is hot, it's going to heat up the one on top, so then you're going to have again a cham l'toich cham, it's going to be an issue. If the one on bottom is cold, so then it's going to cool off the one that's on top. We're going to look at it as a tzoynin l'toich tzoynin, and the halach is it's going to be a mutter. So this is the machloikis between Rav and Shmuel, ilo gavar and tita gavar. Rav shita is ilo gavar, Shmuel shita is tita gavar. Now, the obvious question is, what's the mitzias? Why don't you speak to a chemist? Why don't you do an experiment and try to figure out what the halach is? So the truth is, the achrayim do talk about this. And really, this is reminiscent a little bit of the halach of klisheni. Meaning, Chazal had their own definition in terms of what's bishul. So we know a kli rishon is mevashel, a kli sheni is not mevashel. And the truth is, according to many poskim, it doesn't matter how hot the kli sheni is, I know Rabbi Bienenfeld told me in the past that there is discussion with styrofoam cups, and there are different mitzvahs where maybe a klisheni, because it's so hot, would have the ability to be mevashel. But from a high level, there's an idea that Chazal had their definition in terms of what exactly is mevashel, what's not mevashel. Klishin, yeah. Klisheni, no. Klishlishi, zichenish. So there's a similar idea. Is it ilogover? Is it tatogover? What's the mitzvahs? I'm not sure what matters, but the point is, Rav Shita is Ilogavar, and Shmuel Shita is Tatogavar. Zok to Gemara Tanah, we learned it now. Mishnah Notam Reit V'Alach Eres, V'Nichaz Arelav. The second case of the mission was where you were roasting the Karban Pesach, and a little bit of liquid came out of the Karban Pesach. It touched the Cheres, it touched the earthenware oven, V'Chaz Arelav, and then it went back into the Karban Pesach. So what's the Aloch? Italas Mekoyma, you have to take out from the Karban Pesach, a kedei netila. What's the reason? Because the roitev was just heated up by the cheres. As a result, it's not tzli esh beis pamim. So you have a little bit of a taruvah of this here. You have no choice but to remove the kedei netila. Says the Gemara, kasol kedaita, b'cheres le'netz. The assumption is, and the Gemara is going to fall off of this assumption, that's why it says kasol kedaita, right? Wherever it says kasol kedaita, you know a retraction is coming. But for now, the Gemara says, it would seem that the halacha of the Mishnah is true, even if the cheres is tzaynin, even if the oven is cold. Now, usually when you think of an oven, you think it's hot, especially you're roasting a carbon base not there. So it's a little bit of an interesting kasol kadaitach. But the Gemara says, the assumption is that the Mishnah never gave any information about how cold the oven was. So it sounds like this halacha is going to be true, even if the oven is cold. So Bishlam of the Rab, Bishlam according to Rab Dami Lo Gavar, who says that anytime something hot and something cold come into contact with each other, what's the cold olam gavar? It's always the one that's on top. Mishnah itolas mekayma. Then I understand the halacha of the Mishnah. The also because the roitev was certainly hot. So when it touched the cheres, it heated up the cheres. Now the cheres went and it heated the roitev. Now the roitev was hot anyways. The problem, however, is it just heated it a little bit more. So now the roitev is not sliesh anymore because it just got roasted via the intermediary of the cheres. So the chihada right of a pesach. So when the right of now goes back to the carbon pesach, come atfi pesach, machmas chami musa the cheres. So it comes out the carbon pesach has in it a little bit that was roasted from the cheres. Brachman amat tzliyesh, v'lo tzli machmas davar acher. And it says in the Torah that the carbon pesach has to be tzliyesh tzveimol. So we know that it can't be a machmas davar acher. According to Rav that holds the law gavar, I understand the mission. El lishmol davar tatal gavar. But according to Shmuel that says tatal gavar cheres. Given the tzaynin, if we make the assumption that the cheres is cold, then akure mekalei the roitiv. So then when the roitiv touches the cheres, what happens? The cheres which is cold, it's the tatal. It's Gavar, Shmuel Shita is Tato Gavar, so it's going to make the right of cold. If it makes the right of cold, it didn't heat it, to the contrary, it made it cold. So now you have a Tzoyne L'Toych Tzoyne. Tzoyne L'Toych Tzoyne, nothing happened. So why do you have to remove anything? There's no Taruva. It's officially according to Rav. The right of in our Mishnah is an issue, because the right of was the Ilah. It landed on top of the Cheres. Ilah Gavar, so the right of and the Cheres are both hot. Now the right of was heated, machmas the Cheres. It went back into the carbon pesach. You have a bli of iser. But if you hold Tato Gavar, then the right of remains cold in Halacha, just like the Cheres is cold. So it's Tzoyne L'Toych Tzoyne. So you have no Taruva's problems. So the Gemara says you have no choice, but you have to say, according to Shmuel, that old Snata Gavar, he's going to have to answer, can the Amar of Yirmi, Amar Shmuel, like Rabbi Yirmi said in the name of Shmuel regarding the next Gemara, Besoilus Reisachas, Hachanami Becheres Reisach. Just like the Gemara is about to ask a question from the Soilus, and here Shmuel said, Rabbi Yirmi, you heard it in the name of Shmuel, that Shmuel answered the question that we're about to see, that it's talking about what the Soilus was hot, here too, the Cheres was hot. In other words, the short answer is that the Kasolka Daitnach is I have a mina, but it's not the maskano. If the cheres was cold, then you're right. It's tolini lo gavar tata gavar. But Shmuel said, who told you the cheres was cold? Ovens are usually hot. You're roasting the carbon pesach. It's probably hot. So assuming it's hot, so it's not a question of ilo gavar. It's cham lo teicham. Cham lo teicham. Kuli alma moidi. Everybody's moida. That it's awesome. And that's why you have a problem in our mission time. The next halacha of the mission was, not of me, right via la soilus. Almost identical halacha. If a little bit of right have landed on soilus, he had flour, and some of the roitev of the carbon pesach landed in the flour. So the halach is ikmetz es mekayim. You have to do a kedei kmitza, right? You have to remove the top of the soilus. Why do you have to remove the top of the soilus? Because the assumption is that the soilus heated, it just roasted the
roitev, if it roasted the roitev which is part of the carbon pesach can't be eaten unless it's tzliyesh. And if it was roasted by the silas, you're going to have a problem. So it's again the same way kimta. It doesn't say anything about silas being hot, so it sounds like this halach is true even if the silas is cold. So bishlam the rav dami law gavar mishum hachi yikum tzas mekoy my. I understand the halach. Why the martech leil silas? Because the roitev, which is the ilah, heats up the silas. The hadar hudrane the hadra silas umiratcha leil didei. So the roitev heats up the soilus. Now that the soilus is hot, right, it's cham l'toy cham, so the soilus is now going to have the ability to heat up the roitev, which is where we have a problem. The kamatfi roitev, machmas chami musa the soilus. So, v'rachman amat sliyesh, v'loy tzli, machmas davaracha. So the roitev, which is the law, is going to heat up the soilus. Then the soilus is going to end up roasting the roitev. So it's going to come out, the roitev is not sliyesh anymore. If it's not sliyesh, you have a problem. So according to Rav, the Mishnah is... makes we understand El Shmuel, but according to Shmuel Damatata Gavar, Soilus came in the Tzainanesi, assuming that the Soilus is cold. Akuri Mekele. So then, when the Reuter, which is hot, lands on the Soilus that's cold, Tata Gavar. What's the Tata? It's the Soilus. The Soilus is going to make the Reuter cold. The Reuter's not making the Soilus hot. It's the opposite. The Soilus is making it cold. So it comes out. It's Tzainan L'Teich Tzainan. If that's the case, the Soilus never heated up the Reuter. So there's no problem of Kiyam Tzliyesh on the Reuter. Is Lamali Yikmai Tzes Mekaymai. So why do you have to do a k'tei k'mitz? I'm Rabbi Yirmiyam, Shmuel b'Soilus Reisachas. This is where Shmuel said it. Shmuel said that you have to say the Mishnah's talking about where the Soilus was Reisachas. If the Soilus was Reisachas, so that's why it's a problem, because it's Cham L'Teich Cham, so it's Poshit, that the Soilus had the ability to heat up the Reuter. So just one takeaway as far as just going back to the Mishnah, how you read the Mishnah. So when the Mishnah said, not of me Reutvei al Acheres, the Chazar Eilov, Yitoy les mekaymot. The Mishnah didn't say anything about the cheres. This cheres, this is the oven. It's the earthenware oven. Was it hot or was it cold? According to Rav that holds the law gavar, it could be it was hot. It could be it was cold. According to Shmuel that holds tata gavar, you have no choice but to make an akimta that it's talking about where it was hot. And the same is true for the next line of the Mishnah. Not the mirayt ve'alas soilus. Yikmot es mekaymot. Mishnah doesn't say anything about the soilus. Was the soilus hot or was it cold? According to Rav that holds Ilah Gavar, the soilus could have been hot, it could have been cold. According to Shmuel that holds Tata Gavar, you have no choice but to say that the soilus was Reisachas. Tanan, we learned Viter in the Mishnah. Again, we're moving along, being Mefarish to Mishnah. Socha B'Shem Mishal Truma. If somebody smeared the carbon Pesach with oil that was Truma. So what did the Mishnah say? Im Chaburu is Kayanim. If the Chaburu was Kayanim, Yoichu eat it. Im Shal Yisrael. If the Chaburu was non-Kayanim, then the Allah is like this. Im Chayu, if the meat is Ro Yad Yichenu. Im Tzliu, if it was roasted already, Yikle Vesach Chitzen. Then you have a problem. Look, Bishlam, the Rav Domi Law Gavar. Bishlam, according to Rav that says Ilah Gavar. Am Tullah Hachis Agile Beklim. Then I understand why all you need is a k'day klipa. Meaning, when you smear the carbon pesach with oil and the chabura has Yisraelim in it, I understand why. According to Rav, all you need to do is remove a k'day klipa. Why? Because the ilah is gavar and the ilah is sinin. And being that it's sinin, all you need is a k'day klipa. Now, we just saw chiddush for the first time, which Tosfos incidentally says forces us, we won't do this, to revisit the previous Gemara, but we just saw that it's clear in the Gemara that even according to Rav that holds Ilah Gavar, if the Tata is hot, it doesn't mean you're off the hook. What it means is that you at the very least would have to remove a K'day Klippa. Because the Gemara says, I understand according to Rav why you have to do a K'day Klippa. Why? Because the top is cold and the bottom is hot. What do you mean? If the top is cold and the bottom is hot and Rav holds Ilah Gavar, then why do you even have to take off a K'day Klippa? But I ain't Tosfos. But says the Gemara, so according to Rav, I ain't El Shmuel Dama Tata Gavar. But according to Shmuel that holds Tata Gavar, Kivin the Chamu, being that it's hot, Mivla Bola, there's no question, there's real legitimate blears going on. And if that's the case, I'm nice. Agile Beklippa. Why is it enough to just remove a K'day Klippa? Nitzelig Amri. The whole thing should be a Brahm. According to Rav, this is not really an issue because he law gavar, so it's a chumrah. Okay, chumrah do a k'nei klipa. Why? I'm the Rishonim. But according to Shmuel, that Tata Gavar, so this is a real legitimate case of Issa v'Heter. There's a real Tarubas over here. Because if the bottom one is hot, it's as if they're both hot. So why is it K'day Klippa enough? The reason is Balabatish. Because being that what you used was oil, and the oil is so minute relative to the size of the carbon Pesach, so even in Shmuel's world that holds Tata Gavar, so what's going to happen? It's going to
make it to the point where the oil is going to penetrate the entire Korban Pesach, and now you can have a huge taruvas problem? No, it's bullshit that the most damaged, this little bit of oil, it's for sure hot. Tata gova, it's very hot. Forget something very big and hot, just heated up to something very small, that's the oil. But at the same time, in terms of the impact in Hilchas Taruvas, being that it's so small, relatively speaking, all you would have to do is a kedei klipa. Zok digamar. So we have a machlokes Rav and Shmuel, whether tata gavar or ila gavar. Rav shita is ila gavar, Shmuel shita is tata gavar. Zok digamar. Tanya kavasei de Shmuel. A braisa that supports Shmucham l'teicham. If you have something hot that goes into something hot, asa. V'chein tsoyin ein shenosan l'teicham, asa. This is the Tanya kavasei de Shmuel, period. If something cold goes into something hot, Aser, cham l'toich tzoyne, v'tzoyne l'toich tzoyne, madiach. Again, tanya kavasei de Shmuel. If something cham goes into something tzoyne, it's like something tzoyne went into something tzoyne. All you would have to do is, you would have to wash it. So before we just exhale, so the Gemara explains the braisa first. Cham l'toich tzoyne madiach. The braisa says that if something hot falls into something cold, the halach is, you have to wash it. Keep it the chamu, I don't understand. It's true, Shmuel holds, Tata gavar, but being that the thing on top is hot, ademekele efshloi bala porta, klipa nabaye, you should at the very least have to remove a kdei klipa. So this is the same chiddush that we saw a moment ago according to Rav, right? We just saw according to Rav that even though he holds the law gavar, but at the same time, if the law is tsoinein and the one on bottom is hot, you would at the very least have to take off a kdei klipa, right? The Gemara said, I understand Allah and the Mishnah, socha b'shem and shalchum according to Rav. Why? Because even though you law gavar, but a kdei klipa you have to do. The Gemara just said the same thing in the reverse. That I understand that Shmuel holds tata gavar. So you want to tell me cham l'toich tzoinein that you don't have to worry about a real taruva is memela, but something for sure. I mean, I understand that tata is going to cool it off, right? What's the lashon Gemara? But ad demekerle until it cools it off, ef shadloi balaporta. Something for sure is going to happen. So the Gemara says you're right. If you're right, even according to Shmuel, which this price is going according to, if something hot falls into something cold, at the very least you'd have to do a kdekli. But if it's something cold into something cold, that's when the din is going to be. All you have to do is rinse it. So again, let's just revisit the price again. It's an important braisa because this is the Tanya Kavase, as we'll see. Cham l'toy cham, if something hot falls into something hot, awesome. It's pasha. Tsoyne l'toy cham, awesome. This is the Tanya Kavase, the Shmuel, tata gavar. If the one on bottom is hot, it's for sure going to be a problem. Cham l'toy tsoyne, what if something cham falls into tsoyne? So the way we just edited the braisa, then the loch is going to be yikloif. You're going to have to do a kdei klipa. If it's tzoyne, l'toich tzoyne, if something cold falls into something cold, then the loch is going to be madiach. Then all you have to do is rinse it. Tanya idach, another price. If you had very hot meat that fell into boiling milk, or if something cold fell into something hot, awesome. Both cases, it's going to be awesome. Again, this is another raya that supports Shmuel. You see clearly, tata gavar. If cold falls into hot, being that the hot is the tata, it's going to be an issue. What if something hot fell into something cold, or something cold fell into something cold, madiach, then all you have to do is rinse it. Fate the Gemara, same kasha. Chamu toich tzoyne madiach. If something hot falls into something cold, all you have to do is rinse it. Given the chamu, being that the thing on top is hot, add the mekele yefshloi baloport, a very nice tata gavar, and the one on the bottom is going to cool off the one on top. But it's going to take a moment, and until it takes that moment, something's going to happen. See, right, not enough that it can penetrate the whole taruvos, but for sure, a kdei klipa you should have to take off. Klipa mi ha ni baye. The Gemara says, you're right. Ele ema chamu toich tzoyne gailif. If the cham fell into the tzoyne, you do have to take off a kdei klipa. Tzoyne, tzoyne, madiach. If it's something cold, into something cold, that's when you don't have to worry about it. So again, this is the identical price, so with the same exact edit. Tanya kavasi d'shmul. Rashi, on the top of the yomid, we had to wait until we finished the yomid to speak out this Rashi. But Rashi says on the top of the yomid that we have a klal. Whenever there's machloik, there's Rav and Shmuel. So if they're arguing in Dine Mominus, you're learning above a kamel, above a metziah, above a bastra, we paskin like Shmuel. Shmuel was referred to as melech. Why was he referred to as a melech? Arioich. He was referred to as a melech because he was king. In Dine Mominus, when it came to shekels, halacha k'moisei b'chol makom. But we also paskin like Rav when it comes to Issa v'Heter. So Tosfos says, based on that, we're learning Issa v'Heter if we ever have. I mean, this is the name of the sugya is Issa v'Heter. So there's no question, this is a shaila of Isuri. Based on the rules, in the Kloli Ashas, you would think that halacha should be like Rav. Stating that, Rashi says, we paskin like Shmuel. We paskin tata gavar. Zakrashi, why? The Hatanya Tarti Mas Naisa Kavasa Kidilakaman. Because the Gemara brings two braises to support Shmuel Shita. And being that this two Tanya Kavasa is the Shmuel, even though the rule usually is that if it's a Shaila of Issa Vehetta, we were passing like Rav, but we have a Tanya Kavasa and another Tanya Kavasa the Shmuel, so the Sugya doesn't give us any other option, says Rashi. Therefore, the Halach is Tata Gavar, and that is the Halach. We passing Tata Gavar, and it's based on the fact that it's Machlok is Rav and Shmuel, and even though Shmuel is the one that said Tata Gavar, and you would think the Halach should be like Rav, but there's two braises that support Shmuel. Zok Tigamar, Amar Mar. If something cold falls into something cold, oh, then it's easy. Then all you have to do is rinse it. So for example, if you have a piece of meat that falls into a big tub of milk, madiach, just rinse it off. You don't have to worry about it. No k'dei klipa, no k'dei netila, no k'dei k'mitza, no shishims. Just rinse it off and you're going to be good. Amar Rav Huna said you have to read the fine print. Loi shanu, again, this is Mamish Taruvus 101. This halacha is only true shalai milcha. That's only if you never salted the meat. Avo milcha, if the meat was salted, asa. And the reason is, the Amar Shmuel said, Maliach hareyu kareseach. When you have salted food, it's as if the food is hot. So what would be if Tsoinen and Cham came together? Oh, then you have already a sugya. Even though this was Tsoinen l'teich Tsoinen, but to the extent that the meat would be hot, so now Moli would be salted, Moliach Hareo Kereseach, and that's why it's going to be an issue. Kavush. Additionally, Shmuel said that if you pickle food, that Reo Kamevush, it's as if you cooked it. So if somebody would pickle Isser and a Heta together, it's as if you cooked it together, and you can run into Aruva's problems as well. Amar Rava said, Adam, Shmuel, Aliyah, Rek, Reseach. This, that Shmuel said, Aliyah, Rek, Reseach, Lamar, El, Shalay, Nechel, Machas, Milcha. That's only if you salted it so much that you literally can't even eat it. Aval, Nechel, Machas, Milcha. If you salted it, but you can eat it, it's edible like, then you don't have this halacha. Ubar Goizala, the Nafa, the Kada, the Kamka. There was a Bar Goizala, so this was like a chicken or a goose, something fell into a big jug of kamka. This was a dairy product. Shaya Rav Chinna and Breda Rav Pashrunya. So Rav Chinna and Breda Rav Pashrunya said, don't worry about it, you can eat it. Oh my Rava. So Rava said, man chachim lemishri milsechi ha. He loved Rav Chinna and Breda Rav Pashrunya. He said, this is only someone like Rav Chinna and Breda Rav Pashrunya could have been matis. The Gavar Rabba, he's a Gavar Rabba. He knew how to be matis. Why? What was the grace of Chiddush? The Chiddush over here is that this Bar Goizola was salted. And because it was salted, Maliach Harei Kareseach, and as a result, it should have been a problem because it's as if it was Reseach, which means as if it's hot. So it's as if you have a Cham and a Tzoyin coming together. So shouldn't that be an issue? So what was his Heter? A Malach. His Heter was as follows. This is what Rava was so impressed with that he referred to him as being a Gavra Rabba. He said, because Kiyom Mashmu Maliach Harei Kareseach, he knew that this Gavra Rabba, that when did Shmuel say a Maliach Harei Kareseach, that she'ein Nechel Machmas Milcha. That's only if it can't be eaten because it's so salty. Hai Nechel Machmas Milcha. But the case over there was where it was Nechel Machmas Milcha. And as a result, you didn't have a Halach. But the Gemara says, again, you have to read the fine print. Again, which fine print? Shmuel said, Maliach Hareo Kereseach, which is a game changer in Taruvos. Because if something salted is as if it's hot, so then it falls into Cham L'Toich Tzoynein, Tzoynein L'Toich Cham, Cham L'Toich Cham. It converts from being Tzoynein to Cham, which is a very big difference in these sugyas. If it's salted, it's hot. However, we said only if it's so salted that you can't eat it, Machmas Milchai. Says the Gemara, Hani Mili, this, that, salted is kereseach only when it's that salted where you can't eat it. That's if it's chai, if it was ravel tzli. If it's roasted and salted, even if you could eat it, but it's moliach, by klipa, it would be kereseach to the point that you would need a k'day klipa. Additionally, v'loyim aral v'les pili. This is also only true if there were no cracks. Aval is pili, if there are cracks, aser, then it's going to be a problem even if it's chai. V'im betruvel betavli, and if it's spiced, aser, then it's definitely going to be aser. So to simply say that Maliach Hareo Kereseach is only true if it's Einoi Nechol Machmas Milchai is an oversimplification of what the halacha really is. Amar Rav. Rav said, Basar Shchuta Shame. If somebody has meat, that's Shchuta. In other words, kosher meat. And it was fatty kosher meat. Shetzoli and Basar Nevela. And somebody roasted it together with Basar Nevela. So he roasted it in an oven, Rashi says. B'shnei Shfudim Zer Rachik Mizer. That was the Metzias. So you have a big oven, there's fire on the bottom of the oven, and you have two rotisseries, you have two Shfudim, the way they roasted the Karban Pesach. And Zer was Rachik Mizer. One of these rotisseries had kosher meat, and the other one had non-kosher meat. One of the meats were fatty, and the other one was lean. Rav's case was where the basan shchuta was fatty, and the basan nevela was lean. Said Rav, awesome. It's going to be awesome. My time, what's the reason? And this is another Yerideya 101 halacha, because mefatmi mehadadi. What happens, says Rav, is a little bit of fat is going to go from the fatty meat into the lean meat, and as a result, you're going to end up having yourself an issue. In other words, what does this mean? Rav holds, as we're going to see in a second, that Reicha Milsehi, that even though these two pieces of meat never touched each other, Rashi again, Betanur, B'shnei Shvudim, Zer Rochek Mizeh, that's the Mitzvah, they're far from each other. They're not touching each other. However, Reicha, something is going to emanate from one to the other. And that, something that's going to go from one to the other, is in and of itself going to be a Bliya. And as a result, you can have a problem. Levi Yama, Levi Sned, Afilu Basel Shchuta Kachash, even if you had Basel Shchuta that was Kachash, Shetzoli and Basel Nevela Shami, that you roasted together with Basel Nevela, that Shami, Mutter, that Loch is, it's going to be Mutter. My time. What's the reason? Says Levi, because Reicha ba'alma, all it is Reicha. The Reicha lav milsehi, and Reicha is nothing. I mean that Reicha is nothing. It's not going to be a problem. In others, we have a machloek is Rav and Levi. Reicha milsehi or Reicha lav milsehi. Rav shita is Reicha milsehi. Levi shita is Reicha lav milsehi. What's the case? The case is when you're roasting two pieces of meat in an oven at the same time. Shnei shvudim ze rochay kmizeh. They're far away from each other. Is Reicha? Do you have to be concerned that Reicha is the same as Bliyos, and as a result, you're going to have problems with Shishim and Klippas and Natilas and Kmitzas. You have to worry about all these halachas, or you not have to. Rav said you do have to worry about it. Levi said you don't have to worry about it. And there's just one knetch, just to understand the Lashon of Rav and the Lashon of Levi, and that is the only time there's an issue of Reicha is if the Basar is Shami. So if you have fatty food, then there's a problem. But a lean piece of meat doesn't have a problem of Reicha. Notice, when Rav said this halacha, Rav said Basar Shchuta Shamein, Shetzali and Basin Avelo Kachosh, even then it's going to be Yasser. Meaning Rav told us the Koyach the Isura Adif. He went to such an extreme. He said that this halach of Reicha Milsi is true, even if the non-kosher meat, the one that whose Reicha is a problem, is lean. As long as one of them is fatty, that's going to be enough for it to be a problem. Why? Mefatmi mehadadi. Because what's going to happen is the kosher fatty meat is going to make the non-kosher lean meat fatty, and then its Reicha, which is Milsi, is going to go back. It's going to cause a problem. Levi said the Koyach Neteirad. What did Levi say? Afilu basu shchuta kachosh, shetzolim basu nevela shamein. I hold Reicha lav Milsi to an extreme, meaning even if the non-kosher meat is the fatty meat, even over there, the halacha is that Reicha lav Milsi. So again, Rav Shnit is Reicha Milsi, Levi Shnit is Reicha lav Milsi, Oven Levi, Uvne Beresh Kiluso, Begdiva Davaracher. Once upon a time, it happened that Levi Paskin for the Reish Galusa. So we know some of the history with the Reish Galusa. But Levi once paskin for the Reish Galusa like his kula. What happened? Somebody was roasting a gedi in the same oven as somebody that was roasting a dovaracha, which is a chazer. So at the same time he was roasting these two animals. I mean, can you imagine even calling up a rav asking him such a question? Could you eat this piece of meat? But the Reish Kalusa asked Levi. They said, what's the halacha? And he paskin. This is the halacha. Maybe he said, Bal Nefesh Yachmer. I don't know. But this is what he told him. He said, you want to know the halacha? This is the halacha. The halacha is Reicha Lav Milsi. And if Reicha Lav Milsi, he said, this is something that you're allowed. Faith the Gemara Meis. I'll ask you, Akash. Ain't Soilin Shnei Pesachim Keachetz. Of course, everything's going to come back to the Karban Pesach, because that's what we're learning. You're not allowed to roast two Karbanis Pesach at the same time. Why? Mipnei Taruvois, because of the Taruvois, it's like a Shmak Aloch. So you can roast two Karbanis Pesach at the same time in an oven because of it. My love, what's the Taruvois? Probably Taruvois Taimen. You know what we're worried about? We're worried about Blias. So what's the Blia? I have two Karbanis Pesach. They're both kosher. What's the issue? It's not a Tzliyesh problem. So what's the problem? Zok Rashni. You know what the Blia over here is? V'nimtza Pesach Nechal Shaloi L'menuyav. Because there's a halacha that the Karban Pesach had to be eaten L'menuyav. So if you have two Karbanos Pesach, that means it's a different Chabura in each one of these Karbanos. So now you have Bliyos of a Karban Pesach of an Andere Chabura. It's Shaloi L'menuyav. I have no right to eat from that Karban Pesach. You have no right to eat from this Karban Pesach. So says the Braisa, it's going to be a problem. So what do you see from here? It's pretty clear. Reicha Milsi. Because if Reicha's on Milsi, what's the issue? There's no Bliyos anyways. The Bliya is predicated on the fact that you have a problem of Reicha. The Kashan Levi, isn't it? The Kashan Levi, the Mara says Levi. Nei, Taruv is goofing. Different halacha. Levi understood the Bryson differently. He said, you know why you can't do it? Not because of the Bliyos. Shaloi Lemnuya. It's like a shmaka svara. But Reicha La Milsi. So that's not an issue. The issue is, I'm afraid we may mix up the two karbonos, right? We just had sugis about mixing up the tinoikis. I'm worried about you're going to mix up the two karbonos. And if you mix up the karbonos, it's taruvas gufen. It's not the Ruvah's taimen, not the tam that I'm worried about. It's the guf that I'm worried about. Hachinami, Mistabru. And Levi said it's actually mashman that way. Because Midutani Sefer, that price has a sefer. It says, afilu gdiv v'tle. Even if you have a gdiv v'tle, even then it's gemenish. So the Karban Pesach was able to be either a goat or it could be a shepsala. Says the price, this halacha is true, even if they're two different types of animals. Says the Levi, I don't understand. What's the chiddush? Yeah, Rabbi Shlomo, they goofing. Bishlam, if the pshan and halacha is you worried that the animals are going to get confused, afilu gdiv v'tle. Then I understand the chiddush. Even if it's a gdiv v'tle, so what are the chances that you're going to mix up the animals still. But if this is about Taruva's time, it's the same halacha. Says the Gemara, okay, Elamai, I'll karch mnei Taruva's kufenu da aser. Aval Taruva's time, Shari. Levi's argument is so persuasive that it's poshet. I mean, that's for sure what the Brisa means. Brisa can't mean Taruva's time. It has to mean Taruva's kufen. Because otherwise, what's the chiddush? I feel like diva tle. Says the Gemara, let me tap tuf to the Rav. So does that mean it's a kashna rab? You see from the Gemara Recha laf milsehi. Because if Recha is milsehi, then why are you talking about the animals getting confused before the animals get confused? You can have a perfect cheshbon which animal belongs to. There's a taruvah's time and you have a blia problem. So I was talking about when you roasted the two karbanas and two pots. Come again? What? It was in pots? You don't roast the carbon pesach in a pot. First of all, it's Mexican bishul, and besides, it's just not the way you do it. What it means is, if it was similar to two k'teiros, not literally two k'teiros, that's what the b'raisa was. The issue is taruvas. My taruvas. Taruvas time. The issue is taruvas time. V'afilu ke'en shtei k'teiros. The lack of taruvas time. So the b'raisa says that even if you would have something, a situation that's like two k'teiros, meaning you have a partition between these two animals, as a result, you don't have a problem with Reichem Nilsi, still it would be a problem. From taruvas kufin, because of taruvas kufin. And then the b'raisa says, v'afilu k'div be a problem, even be. In other words, Rav is going to have to edit the Tosefta a little bit. This price, he's going to have to work with it a little bit. And Chanami, the way we have the price written, it sounds very much like a Raya to Levi and a Tiyuf to the Rav, but you have no choice. But you have to say that the price was really saying two halachas. One halacha was saying there's a Taruvah's time issue. Even when there's no Taruvah's time issue, why? Because it's not steak theirs, but it's Kain steak theirs. Even then, there's a Taruvah's Gufim issue. And when we say there's a Taruvah's Gufim issue, that issue is an issue, even if it's a Gdiva Tleh, even though theoretically it's not so likely that there's going to be a problem. So again, we have a Machloikis Rav and Levi. Rav holds Recha Milsi, Levi holds Recha Lav Milsi, Zoktagamar Omer Rav Mori Ketanoi. It would seem that this Machloikis is really a Machloikis Tanoim, it's a Mishnah. In the 10th parak of Masechtas Trumas, I read the Pas Chamo, if somebody removed a hot piece of bread from an oven, and he put it on top of a barrel of wine, and the wine had Truma in it. So what's the concern? The concern is do we have to be worried that there's a little bit of Truma inside the pas, and as a result, if someone's not a kohen, maybe he's not allowed to eat this bread. That's the issue. Ramea says, yeah, a Yisrael's not allowed to eat this bread. Rabbi Yehuda says he is allowed to eat this bread. Rabbi Yossi is machria. Mater b'shal chitin, v'ayse b'shal sa'irim. Chitin is mutter, sa'irim is las, v'nesha sa'irim shayavais. Because the metzias of barley is, it absorbs more, and there's more of a concern that there may be yayin shal truma. So, my love, tanoi. What's the machloikis over here? And we have a machloikis. We have a mayor, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi. What's the shaila? The shaila is you have hot bread. It's on top of truma. What could possibly be the problem? I guess there's reyach that's coming from the truma. That must be the issue. So there's reyach that's going from the wine into the pas. Reicha milsi or reicha la milsi. Rameir mat oyser. It sounds like reicha milsi. Rabbi Yehuda mater. It sounds like reicha Lav milsi, Rabbi Yossi, sometimes, yeah, sometimes. But the point is, my lav tanoihi, the ma'asav reich lav milsi, ma'asav reich lav milsi, the Gemara says no. Little Levi, according to Levi, vadi tanoihi. Meaning, according to Levi, that holds reich lav milsi in the case of the two animals that are being roasted in the same time, there's going to be no option but to say that there's a machloikis in this Mishnah Masech, this Shumas, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, whether reich lav milsi, reich lav milsi. You're right. Meaning, this havamina, that my lav tanoi is going to be true according to Levi. There's no way to wiggle out of that, says the Gemara. However, the Rav name of tanoi, do you have to say according to Rav, it's machlekes tanoi? What's the difference between Levi and Rav? So the Gemara explains. I'm like, Rav's going to say no. The kuli, I'm a reichem milsi. I owe maybe everybody owes reichem milsi. Meaning in my case, where you're roasting two karbanos, two animals, whatever they were, in the same oven, one's kosher, one's not kosher, two karbanos pesach, I think over there, everyone's going to hold reichem milsi. There's no question. However, Lav itmar, Allah dahi, I'm a rabbi, Rav, I'm a reichem milsi. Shlokesh already explained this. this braisa, this mishnah, and he said as follows. He said, "Bebas chama v'chavas psuchet v'akolasin." If you would have hot bread and you would have an open keg of wine, everybody would hold as a problem. Meaning, everybody would hold rechamilsi. Rav says, like I hold. Bepas soynenes v'chavas megufa. If you would have cold bread and you would have a sealed cask of wine, everybody hold this mutter, because there's no reich over there. Where the bread was hot and the chavis wasn't sealed, but it was closed. Or pas soinenes, where the pas was cold, the chavis psuch and the chavis was open. Meaning, the machlokes is not in every case of recha milsi. There's a case of recha where everybody would hold it's a problem, Rav says, like I hold. Because in my case, we have two meats being roasted together in the same oven, there's no question recha milsi, and that's an example of a recha milsi that everybody would hold as a problem. That would be the equivalent of pas chama and chavis psucha, or where everybody's going to hold that it's going to be aser. They're arguing in cases where it's a diluted reich in the first place, where it's not such an issue. And over there, and a chanami, I think really it is machlokes. But as it relates to my case, v'hanami kapas chama v'chavis psucha damyo, and it's for that reason I hold, and in my case, everyone's going to hold that it is aser. In Levi, however, you can't say this. In Levi, you have to say it's machlokes tanam. Why? Because Levi held even in that case, even in the extreme case, even the case that's like the pas chama and the chavas psucha, right? Why is the case of the two meats like pas chama and chavas psucha? You have an open oven and you have two things. So even there, Levi said it's mutter, so Levi has no choice. There's no question in the world that Rav Meir, that's oyser, in that Mishnah Masech Teshumas doesn't stem with Levi. Okay, you could say it stems with Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda was mantra in that Mishnah. So little Levi vade tanoi. According to Rav, however, you know, Muchrach can say that it's a machloikis tanoi. One last gemara. Tani Rav Kana Breid Rav Chinen Osaba. Pas shofen tzli, if somebody baked pas together with roasted meat, betanor, in an oven, asa loich lebekutchi. Now let's take that bread now and eat it together with dairy food. I mean, this is dvarim ma'omdim berumo shaloi lamamish, every single line. Hahibi nisa, there was a fish. The itfa bahadi bistra, it was roasted together with meat. Asra rava mi parzikya. Rav Parzikya said, you're not allowed to eat it, bekutcha, together with kutach. He said, why? Because the fish has blias of basar, so you can't eat basar together with dairy. Marba Rav Ashi Yomar, a very befitting way to end this epic daf with another classic. Afilu b'milcha nami asur, you can't even salt it. If you have fish that you roasted together with meat, you can't eat it, period. You can't not just eat it together with milchix. You can't eat it. Why not? Mishum dekashya l'recha l'davar achar. You know why? Because it's a sakana to eat fish together with meat. It's bad l'recha, for breath, l'davar achar. What does davar achar here mean? It's on the top of the yom, davar achar meant a chazer. Here Rashi says davar achar means saras. So davar achar is always relative. Depending on the sugya, that determines what davar achar means. But the point is that if you eat fish together with meat, that's its own issue. That's its own problem. That's a problem of sakana, which by the way is even more chomer than taruvas, the taz and simen kuf tazayin, that says even bittel and all these different halachas that you find in Isavata Kubi you don't have when it comes to sakana, based on the Gemara Chul Daf Yud, chamir sakanta meisur. So Kubi, this is actually more chomer. Bottom line is, Psochem daf ayin vav, hafoichba, vafoichba, the kulaba. This is a daf you learn be'ian when you learn the sugyas of taruvis and basa v'chalof in yeshiva. But just to be messiah with two ha'oris, two classic chasam soifers. So two chasam soifers, one is related to the daf, and the other one is a shtickel digression from the digression, be'inyana diyayma. So the Gemara mentioned that when it comes to roasting the carbon Pesach, you had to be very careful for blios. And there were different types of blios that were mentioned in this sugya. The Gemara on Daf Samech Vav Amen Aleph discussed the story with the Bnei B'Seir and Hillel as it relates to bringing a carbon Pesach, Kishechol Liyos Yudal and Nisan B'Shabbos. So the Bnei B'Seir didn't remember, had they not remember, and then Hillel came and he reminded the Bnei B'Seir, he was Mekabel from Shmai of Avtalium, Mayadeh Mayadeh Yegzei Rishavah, to teach us that the carbon Pesach is Doiche Shabbos. And the Gemara says that after Hillel told the Bnei B'Seir that Allah is that the carbon Pesach is Doiche Shabbos, they had a follow-up question. The follow-up question was, are you allowed to now carry things that you're going to need for the carbon? Meaning, are you allowed to take your tleh? Are you allowed to take your gedi? Are you allowed to carry the sakin? Like, all these things that you're going to need. Are you allowed to carry these things? Are you not allowed to carry these things? What was the shaila?
Pesach is Doiche Shabbos. What about Machshire Pesach? Is Machshire Pesach Doiche Shabbos? Or is it Amal Lehen? So Hill told the B'nai B'Seira, Halacha Zu Shamati V'Shachachti. He says, I have to be honest, I knew this Halacha, but I forgot the Halacha. The Gemara says on Amud Beis, that you see from here, Kol HaMisyar, if somebody has Gaiva, Im Chachamu Chachmasa Mistalakas Mimenu, that Hillel, after he reminded the B'nai B'Seira of the Halacha, that Karban Pesach Doiche Shabbos, so gave them an epic Musa Shmuz, and he spoke Sharf, Hischel Mikantaram Bedvarim. And because of that, he forgot halacha. So what was the halacha that he forgot? He couldn't remember. The machshir ma'doicha na'toicha. But he told the B'nai B'Seira, don't worry about it. Don't worry. You don't have to lose sleep over it. You know why? Because hanach lehen liyisrael. Im ein neviim hei b'nei neviim hei. Let's see what happens tomorrow. And we'll see what the Yidden do. I mean, you tell the Yidden you have to bring the Karban Pesach. And whatever the Yidden do, we're going to assume is right. Why? Not because they know. If Hillel didn't know and the B'nai B'Seira didn't know, how would they know? But im lav neviim hei b'nei neviim hei. And whatever they do, we're going to assume was a ruach nevuah. So let's just see what they do. Says the Gemara, l'mocha, the next day, nisha pischei tle, anyone that had a tle, toichvei betzamra. So he took his knife and he stuck it into the tzemer of the tle. Misha pischei gdi, if someone's Karban Pesach was a gdi, was a goat, toichvei ben karna. He put it between the horns. Ram maisa v'nisker halacha. When Hillel saw this, he remembered halacha. I was mekabel from Shmaya v'Avtalion exactly this. That what you're supposed to do is not supposed to carry it, but you're supposed to stick it into the animal. You put it into the wool of the sheep, but you put it between the horns of the goat. And the Gemara says, how you let it do that? What happened to Mechamer? That was the whole sugyo in Mesechtes Pesachim Daf Samech Vav. The Chasam Sofer in a tshuva, it's in Yerideya, tshuva kuf yodalet. If you have the Chasam Sofer Hasholim al Hashas, it's a Masechtes Pesachim, Daf Samech Vav Amud Aleph. He makes an unbelievable observation. It's clear in the Gemara that the Yidden brought knives with them to bring the Karban Pesach. And he says, why didn't you have to bring knives? What, there were no knives? Why did they have to bring knives? I said, there were karbonis that were being brought every day in the Beis HaMikdash. They had chalifs, they had sakinim. It's pashut they did. He said, v'loy oy. He said, the Yidden had to bring the Shalmi Chagiga, they had to bring the Oilasriya. He says, v'loy shamanu v'loy ro'inu, anywhere that they had to show up, bring your own knife, right? Doesn't say that you show up, everything's going to be taken care of. This was fully taken care of. You had to bring an animal, yeah. But other than that, you were good to go. Why they have to bring knives, right, the Chasam Sofer? He said, v'loy motzinu came beyontiv, shechagiga v'simcham, ruben yoysim ipsochim. They had a whole bias where they had knives there. So what was the issue? He says, you know what the pshat is? Because the Gemara says, in Masechtes Chulin, Daf Ches Amud Beis. Are you allowed a shecht? Are you allowed a shecht Chulin with a sakin shel avodah zarah? It's a classic Gemara. Itma hasheichet besakin shel avodah kecham. If somebody shechts Chulin with a knife that was used for avodah zarah, Rav Amakoylev. Rav says it's a problem. You have to remove a k'day klipa. This is all related to today's daf. That is an issue. You have to take over. Rav Barachana Mamadich. Rav Barachana says, no, you don't have to worry about it. All you have to do is rinse off the area. You want to make sure there was no real avodah zarah on the knife itself. But to start take over a k'day klipa, that's not something you have to do. Just rinse off the areas. Again, Ashoich, Pesach, and Cholev, Dikechavim, Rav Omar Koylev. And the Gemara has a whole discussion over there. What's the Hezber and the Machloikis? But Pasha Pshat, the Gemara says, is the Mar Savar, Rabbi Bar Bachana, that says all you have to do is be Madiach, he holds Beis HaShchita Tzoyne. That the Beis HaShchita was Tzoyne, the area where the Sheikhi does the Shchita, that area is considered to be cold. Umar Sava Beis HaShchita Reseach, whereas Rav, that said, HaShoichit B'Sakin Shalev Dekechavim Koylev, is because he holds that area is Reseach. And because that area is Reseach, so now there's Resicha. Oh, you have a knife and you have Resicha, it's going to be wrong. Then Gemara says, maybe it has nothing to do with that. Kumi, it's related to Duchka de Sakina. But it's a whole Sugya Mesech de Schulin, Daf Ches Amud Beis, where Rav Shita is HaShoichit B'Sakin Shalev Dekechavim, there's a problem of Briyas. Pashup Shad is, because he holds Beis HaShchit is Reseach. Kumi has nothing to do with Reseach. Kumi, it's the Duchka de Sakina, when you press the knife against the animal. Even when it's sign in, it's sign in, it has a different impact. That's why knives have their own subcategory in Hilchas Taruvas. It's related to Duchka de Sakina. There's this concept that it's not mere contact, it's more than that. There's this idea of Duchka de Sakina. But says the Chasam Sofer, you see from the Sugya in Chulin Daf Ches Amud Beis, that if you shecht an animal with a knife that has bliyos of iser, Rav Shita is, we pass him like Rav, you have to take off a k'day klipa. Therefore, Ashoichet B'Sakin Shalov D'Kechavim, it's going to be a problem. So it says, Chasam Sofer, it's pasha why everybody had to bring their own knives. Because if you were going to use somebody else's knife, a chabura took a knife to shecht the Karban Pesach. That knife
hasn't it now blias of shaloi l'menuyov? It has the blias of this animal. This animal was shtal davek for this chabura. So right now, inside the knife, brilliant. You have inside of it blias shaloi l'menuyov. If you're going to go ahead and you're going to use it for another animal, your mamash is shaychit besakit shaloi dekechavim. Rav Shita is koylev. Why? Because the halacha is that the tzavar of the beis hashchita is considered to be reseach, or this initial of duchit the sakina. But the point is, you can end up with blias. The end of blias, that's why it's going to be a problem. He says, shalmi chagiga, the shalmi simcha, all the karban was never an issue. What would be the problem? By the karban pesach, if I'm going to use a knife that was used for one animal, for another animal, now you're running into shloilem nuyev. Oh, shloilem nuyev, that's going to be an issue. So he says, well, lefizeh, this is how we fear his eyes. It comes out, lefizeh, chidish la'alocha. You might have to say that in the Beis HaMikdash, they had sakine miyuchadim lechatos, each carbon had to have had its own sakinim. And the reason is because kachin kadashim is eaten for a day and a night. Kachin kalim can be eaten for 2 days and a night. However, if you have blias of kachin kadashim inside kachin kalim, so now you have to worry about the blia of kachin kadashim that's inside the kachin kalim. So this is not only going to be an issue with the carbon pesach, but if you start mixing and matching different carbon, you may end up having a problem. So says the Chasam Sofer, lafi this chiddush, it's going to come out there are different knives in the Beis HaMikdash that we use. This is for a this is for a shlomim. Like this, they wouldn't run into this problem. But that's what the Chasam Sofer said. That the reason in the Gemara, Pesachim, Samech, Vav, Amar, Aleph, everybody had to bring their own knives. Why was this bring your own knife? What was the issue? The issue is because you had a situation over here where the problem was is the knives were inside. You were going to have blias from Shaloi Lemnuyev. And if you're going to have blias from Shaloi Lemnuyev, that's what the issue was going to be. So just to get into the spirit, again, we keep on saying this. So we mentioned the Chasam Sofer, that's Negeya Hilchas Taruvos. It's Negeya Hilchas Shchita, as it relates to Masechtas Chulin Daf Ches Amud Beis, so it's impossible not to speak out another Chasam Sofer. And Eschatoy Ani Masker Ayon, we did not speak out this Chasam Sofer when we spoke out Chulin, when we learned Chulin Daf Ches. But we have Tashlumin, and now we can speak out that Rabbi Bienenfeld. Now we can speak out that Chasam Sofer again. That's not on Negeya to Chulin Daf Ches Amud Beis, but this is actually Negeya to Masechtas Chulin Daf Ches Amud Aleph. The Gemara in the Sechtes Chulin, Daf Ches Amud Aleph, says Allah. Again, why do we have the license to be talking about real Yerudeya 101? Because that was today's daf. I mean, today's daf was, if we could talk about Allah Gava and Tatar Gava and Reichel Nilsa, Reichel Ab Nilsa, and Kdei Klipa, Kdei Natila, then we could do this raid bite. So the Gemara says like this, Amar Rab Zeira Amar Shmuel. Rab Zeira said in the name of Shmuel, Libein Sakin. If somebody took a knife and he made it very, very hot, V'shachat Ba, and then he shechted an animal, Shechitas Chulin, shechted an animal with a knife that's very, very hot, Shechitas and Ksheira. The Shechita is going to be kosher. Now, this is a little bit of a chiddush. The reason a little bit of a chiddush is because when you shecht an animal, you have to be very careful that the animal dies via the shechita. Right? It has to be that whatever the halacha l'moish misinav shechita is what kills the animal. But if the animal's going to die a moment earlier, or it's going to die not machmas the shechita, then the animal's going to be an avela. Then you're not allowed to eat it. You have to be very, very careful. So there would have been a havamina, ben benoy shel havamina, that this should be a problem. The reason is because if this knife is very, very hot, the knife might burn the animal, and the animal's going to die machmas the burn, and if it dies machmas the burn, it wasn't a kasher shechita, you can end up eating nevela. So Rab Zeira said in the name of Shmuel, libein tzakim v'shachapa, if somebody heated up a knife and he shechted with it, shechitasik shera. Now, loch is the shechita is going to be kasher. Why is it going to be kasher? Chiduda koidem lilibuna. Because what we assume happens is that before the animal could have been burnt by the heat of the knife, it got killed because of the sharpness of the knife. The point is, it ended up dying, did the animal, via shechita, being the thing, through the medium of roiv of the beis simonim being severed, but not from the fact that it got burnt. Chidudas kaidem libun. Afraid to Gemara, I understand. Why is that so pashit? For ikut stadim, meaning chidudas kaidem libun is a mitzias. The knife is so sharp that it's going to puncture the beis simonim before it has a chance to get burnt from it. But afraid to Gemara, what about the sides of the knife? There's parts of the knife that's not so sharp. So if there's part of the knife that the face of the blade is not so sharp, so there you don't have the chiduda, so you don't have the chiduda koidim lilibuna, so why are you worried that maybe that's the way to die? So the Gemara says, beis hashchita mirvach ravach. Now that's not an issue. The reason that's not an issue is because what happens is that the second the chiduda of the knife touches the beis simonim, that whole area expands. And being that it expands, the face of the knife never ends up touching the tzavar of the animal. And if it never ends up touching the tzavar of the animal, since for that reason, you don't have to worry. about. That's what the Gemara says. So again, Rav Zeira said the name of Shmuel. If somebody takes a knife, he makes it very, very hot. He shechts chulin, the halacha is it's kosher. What's the chiddush? You would have thought that maybe the animal died because of the burn. If that's the case, it wasn't a kosher shechita. It's okay. Why? Chiduda kaidem lilivuna. What does that mean? It means that you make sure the sharp part of the knife touches the animal first. As soon as it touches it, it dies from the chidud before it would have a chance to die from the libun. Why aren't you worried that the part of the knife that's not so mechudad is going to touch it and that part will get burned? So there it's going to be libun kaidem lichiduda. So the Gemara says, oh, the tzadim beis hashchita mirvach ravach. The beis hashchita, that whole era, this expands and it's just mitzias. This is not something that's going to happen. The Chasam Sofer on this Gemara in Masechtas Chulin Daf Ches Amud Aleph says as follows, quote, Vishamati mimori agoyin aflo zatzal. I heard from my Rebbe Daflo, Besimchas Purim. And he said this during a Purim Suda. How did Rav Zeira know this? How did he know this halacha? Amar Rav Zeira, Amar Shmuel. Chidudim kaidim levuno. So the Daflo said by the Purim Suda. Domina perikam de Megillah. Because the Gemara says in the first perikam Masechtas Megillah that Rabbi and Rav Zeira once pravid Sudas Purim together. And then the Gemara says, come Rabbi, v'shachted Rav Zeira. Rabbi got up and he shechted Rav Zeira. Said Daflo, you know what I think? V'efshir, shachtei besakin roiseach. I think that there was a sack in Roiseach, a very, very hot knife, that was sitting over there during the Sudas Purim. And he used the sack in Roiseach. So Reb Zeira himself was the recipient, the beneficiary of this halacha. He felt it himself. He knew how he died. He knew that he died from the chiduda, and he didn't die from the libuna, and from his own mitzius, Reb Zeira passed in the halacha. So who's the one that said it? Reb Zeira, Amar Shmuel. Had Reb Zeira know, so Naflo sitting by the Purim Suda, and the Talmidim are sitting around, and he told the Oilam, he said, I'm going to tell you how Reb Zeira really had personal experience. He said, B'didi Havuvda. This is exactly what happened. He said, come Rabbi, Shachtu Reb Zeira. This is the rest of the story. Rabbi didn't just take a knife. He took a knife that was a sack in Roiseach, and he knew he died from chiduda, kaidim libuna. This is what had happened. So listen to what the Chasam Sofer says. I hold this next line as the punchline of the whole shtickle. Vihine, even though when the Hafla said it, it was l'chuka, he was trying to get the Olam to laugh. And this was a Purim spiel, right? He said this by the Purim Suda. Nearly, however, this is what I hold. Being that these words came out of the mouth of a Gavir Kadisha, lo yigal arik chas v'shalom. It can't be, it was yigal arik. Can't be stam a bigiret. It can't stam be Purim Torah. It has to be true. The Vaday, it has to be this the way it is. So what's the pshat? So said the Chasam Sofer, I'm going to tell you what the pshat is. He said the pshat is, because the Gemara says, in Masechtas Yevamis, the Gemara is discussing if Isha Shalach Bailam Dinasayam. And we haven't heard from this man in a long time. We're trying to figure out he's alive, he's not alive. Right? No one knows what's going on over here. So there's a whole sugyas. These are the last sugyas of Masechtas Yevamis, where the Gemara talks about it. It's in the context of those sugyas, the Gemara asks a stira. That in one place it's mashma that if somebody was seen to have been stabbed with a knife, we assume for sure that he died. And then there's another price that says, not necessarily that's the case. And the Meiram are toiling to try to reconcile this apparent contradiction. So the Gemara Toich Tvarav says as follows, Rav Amar Rava says, B'sakin milubenes b'divri akhoil. That if you have a sakin milubenes, if you have a knife that's very, very hot, everybody agrees what? That you have to be assumed that the person might be alive. Fascinating. That the halacha is that if you have somebody gets geshachten with a sakin melubenes, it's pashit that you would have no choice, but you would have to assume that the person is going to be alive. Why would you have to assume that the person is going to be alive? So Rashi says, shemitoicha michva misrape, because we assume that the heat, the steam that comes out of the knife, so it's actually going to heal. So just like heat can be a problem, but at the same time, the heat can actually go ahead and heal the person as well. And being that it can heal the person as well, so it's for that reason. In that case, we always assume that for sure it's going to be okay. So said the Chasam Sofer, if Rav Zeira was killed with a knife, if that's the way Rav Zeira was killed, so he says, let's assume that the knife was hot. Okay, that's the assumption. The knife was hot. So he said, why did Rav Zeira have to die? He says, why did Rav Zeira die? Now I understand that he died and Rabbah was Mechayim Mason, but why do you have all these moifsim and all these miracles happening Shalaika Derech HaTeva? David Shnum wouldn't have made a moif Shalaika Derech HaTeva unless we had no choice. He could have worked this out, but Derech HaTeva. It's the Mefurish HaGemara, Yevam Estav Kufchav on the base. The Sakin Meluben is for Divrei HaKol, you're always concerned that the person might be alive. Because we're always concerned that maybe, even though the Sakin went ahead and he punctured the person, but maybe at the same time,
the heat of the sacking brought the person back to life. So the Chasam Sofer says that obviously Rav Zeira wasn't really meant to die. So if that's the case, why do you have to die and then Tchias HaMesim? It would have made more sense for him not to have died. Based on the Gemara Masech Tzivam, Mestav Kuf Chaf Amibes, he could have remained alive. He says, you know what the Teretz must have been? Al Karchach Beis HaShchid, he must have Shachte, the Gemara says. And what does Kom Rabbi Shachte the Rav Zeira mean? It doesn't just mean he stabbed him. He Shachted him by the Simonim. Oh, he Shachted him by the Simonim. There it's different. Because when he Shachted by the Simonim, the Bokim Beis HaTzavr, it's Meravach Revuche. That area expands. Oh, being that it expands, so the heat of the knife never touched the wound for it to go ahead and heal it. And that's the Teretz to the Gemara. Notice the Chasam Sofer said that I understand. It's a Mefurish Sugi that when you Shach with something hot, the Halach is going to be different. The Teretz is an Echinami, but there's a Nafgemita between the Beis HaShchit and any other area. Beis HaShchit, the area is Meravach Revuche. Meaning that the area is Meravach Revuche, so over there, you don't have to, it's impossible for the area to now get healed. There's no way for the area to be healed. That's why it's going to be an issue. Where is it a problem? Where do we say that the person might be alive? That's any area other than the Beis HaShchita. The point is, Rav Zeira was Shachat. If he was Shachat, it means it was Shchita's Beis Simonim. So if it was Shchita's Beis Simonim, and it was a hot knife, so why do you have to die with Chis HaMesim? What happened to the Gemara in Yavam is Kuf Chav Amin Beis? What's the Teretz? It's Mamash Apella. What happened to the Gemara? Oh, you know what the Teretz is? The Teretz is Beis HaShchita must be different. Because Machin Beis HaShchita, you have to say, is Meravich Rovach. Oh, Rav Zeira Mashmul. That's when Rav Zeira said in Chul Daf Chesamet Aleph, in the name of Shmuel, Libem Besach, Snak, and Beshachat, Shchitosik Shera. What's the Chiddush that even though the Gemara says in Yavam is that ordinarily Fakert, we assume for sure the knife is making contact, so much so that we have a Chumr in the laws of Aguna, that were concerned this person might be alive because the same time the sacking killed him, maybe it also healed him, maybe it brought him back alive, but there must be enough kemina between the Beis HaShchita. How in the world would he have known that metzias? Oh, the Teretz is because he experienced it. Because come Rabbi Shachte the Rav Zeira, and it was a hot knife, and he died. Why did he have to die? He should have remained alive. That would have been the much lesser of the two Mivsin. So the Chasam Sofer, it must be. It's because Beis HaShchita is Meravach Revuche. And he said, that's what the Afla meant when he said, but I think the punchline is not Shaykh. Again, the Afla said something by Purim Torah. It's brilliant. But this is what the Afla said. And what's the Chasam Sofer's law? Even though the Rebbe said this, he was trying to get the Olam Gishmak, and he said this by Simchas Purim. However, nearly, Hoyel Menafik Mipume de Gabri Kadisha Lo Yigal Orik Chas V'Shom. Or was it Lo Yigal Orik? We say it in Uvalitzin. Laman Lo Yigal Orik V'Lo Neil La Bahala Lo Yigal Orik. We shouldn't toil for nothing. I would like Niga Miloshin Yegia Adam La Amol Yulad. Everybody Anu Amelam and Heima Amelam. And we're mispowel every day. Laman Lo Yigal Orik. That all our toil shouldn't be for nothing. One day we should be rewarded for all the effort and toil that we put into our lives. We shouldn't look back and say, this is what you wasted your life and this is what you did. That's the tefillah of Laman Lo Yigal Orik. So the Chasam Sofer said that the hafla to him to say something that's larik, time to crack a good joke, it's not possible. So the sensitivity of Laman Lo Yigal Orik Chas V'Sholem, the haflo, this one Gishmak alone, it's Gishmak regardless, but he said, couldn't, it's not possible. Must be there's a little bit of emes to it. Sushtal to the Gemara Masechtas Yevamos. The way we'll stop here.